Acts chapter number 24. All right. Amen. I feel like that we have a severe problem with people today. An individual I talked to this past week asked me a question about religion. And asked me how I felt about religion. I mean, here is an individual that sees that religion, as this world calls it, is not the answer. It's not the truth. Now, we know, as saved individuals, and read our Bibles and study of what we know what it really means to be religious and have true religion. Pure religion, the Bible says. And it's undefiled before God. But we have individuals out in the world that we come in contact with, and they use the term religion very lightly and loosely. And if you go to church, or if you mention God's name, or if you read your Bible at all, or a Bible, as they call it, you know, you're religious. You know, if a song's got the name Jesus in it, it's a religious song. It don't matter how many cuss words they said before they said the name Jesus, it turned out to be a religious song because it said something about God or about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't go with that. And religion is not a loose term or a term to be taken lightly. But in our day, we have to be more specific when we use the term religion. And it means more to us than what it does to the common everyday individual. And I have been troubled about that question. And as I was reading this morning, I felt like the Lord wanted us to go here and maybe try to preach along some thoughts this morning that would encourage us, amen, and how to reply to individuals about true religion and, of course, what true religion really is. But it's not just in our day that we have people that are religious and lost. Amen. It was back in Paul's day as well. Acts chapter number 24, and I'm going to begin reading verse number 1. It is a short chapter. I want to try to preach on the thought this morning, Christianity is not convenient. Christianity is not convenient. The Bible said, and after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Always somebody trying to get somebody else to go against the man of God. I wish everybody would leave God's people alone and let people come to their own conclusion. You know what I'm telling you is right. Most of the time we listen to what somebody else is saying about somebody else, and we never even give that individual a chance. Amen. I mean, literally, we don't even give them a chance. We've already formed our opinions of that individual. We've never even met them, never even talked to them, and don't even have a clue what they are really about. Now, that can be good and that can be bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have focused in our children's mind and in our mates' minds and in our church's minds that, you know, there's nothing wrong with steering people away from things that's not true. I'm not talking about that. But we have caused people to become on the defense that they're not even willing to give a person a chance. If a person has long hair or has tattoos all over their body or is just not coming to the church that we go to, they're automatically a bad individual and we should never even talk to them about the Lord. And that is not the case. And, of course, Tertullus here, he's informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called for, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. He said, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands. Now, if you go back and read beforehand, Paul's down here. He's alone. He's getting beat to death, amen, by a bunch of people, amen, that don't like the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lysias and some of his army comes down and removes Paul out of their, delivers Paul out of their hands, and brings Paul so he can get a fair trial, if you please. Now this man is went to Felix and tried with his smooth talking to convince Felix that this man is not even worthy of a trial. Don't even listen to him. Just put him back in our hands and we'll take care of him. So the Bible said in verse number 8, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. Paul said, I'm glad that I can talk to you myself and you'll just not take their word for granted. Amen, that it is so. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. He said, I've not caused any disturbance. I've not done anything that these people have accused me of. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. He said, it's only been 12 days, Felix, since I've been at the temple and worshiped the Lord. And these men have come and tried to falsely accuse me of different things and raising a ruckus. But he said, since it's only been 12 days, things are fresh on people's minds and you can talk with them and communicate with them and find out the truth. He said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. It's easy for us, really, in all reality, to have a clear conscience one way or another. But sometimes it is difficult to have a clear conscience with God and man. It's easy for me to get up here and say, I've told the truth, I've spoken the truth, and it don't matter if you like it or not, this is the way it is. But can I have a clear conscience that I've told you the truth in the right aspect with the right attitude and give you the right possibility of accepting the truth? And so Paul said, I'm clear. I'm void of offense in my conscience toward God and toward man. I've done everything right. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and object if they had aught against me. In other words, if there was a problem, they should have already been here and talked to you about it. Or else let these same here say, if they have found any evil doing in me, which I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day." He said, the only thing that they are really can truly say against me that has made them mad is that I have preached the resurrection. He said, that's the only thing that they can accuse me of that to them is really wrong. I've not caused a tumult. I've not brought a multitude in to bring trouble. He said, the only thing I have done, Felix, is preach, if you please, or announce the resurrection of the dead. I believe that means he preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that means because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he also preached the resurrection of those that have went on before us that are saved by the grace of God. And also those, according to the Scripture, in verse number 15, there will be those that were unjust or those that have never been saved, also resurrected from the dead to be judged once again. So here he is in question pertaining this issue. Verse number 22 and following now. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way. Felix knew more about this. That's why Tertullus come to him and said, "Felix, there's no need for you to listen to this man. We'll tell you all the problems with him and we'll take him off your hands and judge him by our law if you'll just release him to us." Tertullus didn't want Felix to talk to Paul and reason with Paul because Tertullus knew that Felix believed in the resurrection. And Tertullus knew that Felix, if you please, would release Paul in freedom, in liberty, if he would just listen to Paul. So he wanted Felix to give him up to them. But Felix, after hearing these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter." In other words, he said, "I'm not listening to you, Tertullus. I'm not letting your crowd have Paul. When Lysias comes down here, I'll find out the truth. I'll find out what happened down there, and I'll find out why he took Paul out of your hands." So he said in verse number 23, and he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Government has always been crooked. There's always been money slipped under the table. If there had not been money already slipped under the table to Felix before this time, he would not have expected Paul to slip money under the table to him. But I'm glad it doesn't matter if we're going to be set at liberty or not. I'm glad a true Christian will not get involved in crooked politics. Amen right there. Hallelujah. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. I'm preaching on the thought out of verse number 25 on Christianity is not convenient. Father, we ask you for your help and your mercy today, Lord. We know, dear God, today that without you we can do nothing. Lord, we know without the moving hand of God, the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and the anointing power of God in our life that nothing can be accomplished today that would be pleasing unto Thee. And I pray, Almighty, for the power of God in our life today in the preaching time, the giving of the Word of God, may it go forth on the hearts of men and lay there and perform the everlasting work that needs to be done. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for all that You do for us. In Jesus' name we do pray. And for Your sake we ask it. Amen. Felix here says, Paul, I want to hear the truth. I want You to tell me what it means to be a Christian. I know about the resurrection, Paul. I've been expounded in that way, and I know that way more perfectly. Isn't that what the Bible said? So the Bible said in verse number 24 that after he'd been there certain days, that Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, and he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. If you please, Felix said, go get Paul and bring him up here. And I don't know if Drusilla and Felix was, if you please, in a personal room, maybe in their living room, or maybe they went down to the temple alone, whatever the case may have been. But Paul was brought to them, and he asked Paul to expound to them about the faith in Christ. And no doubt Paul, as his story is, no doubt went back to that road on to, going to Damascus. And began to expound to them how God dealt with them. And the Bible said in verse 25 that as he reasoned with them of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Amen. That Felix trembled. Oh, he trembled under the conviction of God. I mean, God had appointed a time. Get this now. The Bible said, and I'm not preaching election today. I'm not preaching Calvinist doctrine, hyper-Calvinism, and all that junk today. The Bible said that after certain days that Felix came with his wife. God had been dealing with Felix about this situation. He had already heard the gospel about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it troubled his soul. And he said, I want to hear more about this matter. And he sent for Paul and said, Paul, I want you to expound to us about this way of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul begins to preach to them the unsearchable riches of Christ and tell them about the Lord. And no doubt the change that took place in his life. And Felix fell under conviction. I don't know if Drusilla did or not. The Bible didn't say that Drusilla did. I mean, we can speculate in many ways right here because the Bible's not totally clear and detailed in this subject about Drusilla. I don't know if Drusilla was following her husband. I don't know if Drusilla threw a fit and that's why Felix never got saved or what the case may have been. But I want to say that probably both of them fell under conviction, but we know that Felix did. And the Bible says, that Felix trembled. Can I submit to you today, church? Can I submit to you today, young person? Amen, an older person alike. It doesn't matter what you think. When God deals with your heart, that is the time for you to look to the Lord. That is the time for you to receive God's salvation. He said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You need to behold that, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians. I'm telling you, you can't get saved when you want to get saved. You're not going to get a hold of God when you want to get a hold of God. Amen. There might be a desire that comes in your life to find God. There might be a desire that comes in your life to call upon God. But without God dealing with you, you'll never get to God. I believe what the Bible says, the Bible teaches that we can seek God. The Bible teaches that we, amen, as a lost individual, amen, we can come to a place in our life that we have no hope and that we see there's no way out and there has to be something better, and that is the movement of God in our life. And it can cause us to run, amen, if you please, for the city of refuge that we might have heard about, and run to God. But I'm telling you, you cannot receive God until God is ready to be received. The Bible said here that he trembled. He called for Paul after Paul had been there certain days. No doubt the testimonies and the things that Felix had heard in the past has began to ring aloud in his heart. I don't know how many times God has dealt with this man before, if he ever had dealt with this man before. But God dealt with Felix now for a fact. And God said, I want you to call him up here and I want you to hear concerning faith in Christ. And so he called Paul and said, Paul, I want you to preach to me and my wife. I want you to tell us about this way. I want to know what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul began to preach to them the unsearchable riches of the Lord and Savior, and how He could save them, and how He would change their life, and how if they rejected, judgment would come in their life. And the Bible said that Felix began to tremble. I'm going to tell you something. You'll not just get God when you want God. You'll get God when God deals with you. It's not Christianity. Becoming a Christian is not convenience. Becoming a Christian is not something that you can do in your convenience. Amen. It was not just a certain day, if you please, because it was a day of his life. There was a certain time that God had put Paul in Felix's life where Felix could have gotten saved and became a Christian. Amen. Knowing the Lord as his Savior. But he rejected Christianity because it was not convenient. It's just not convenient right now, Paul. God dealt with me, but it's just not convenient. Let me show you some things about Christianity that's not convenient. I mean, it's not convenient to be a Christian in a wicked and perverse world, is it? It's not convenient to be a Christian when other people are not around. I mean, here at the church, oh yes, we can shout and testify and praise God about being saved. We can shout and testify, amen, when we go to another church about the blessings of God. But it's not convenient to speak of the blessings of God down there in front of that lost crowd. It's not convenient, amen, to talk about the blessings of God in front of some of our family members that don't know God. Some of that Christianity is not convenient. And because of that, sometimes we only are Christian, quote unquote, when it's convenient. But if you can only be a Christian when it's convenient, amen, then you're not a Christian at all. I preached here a couple of weeks ago about overcoming fears and circumstances in our life. And I'm telling you that God is faithful. And God requires faithfulness, the Bible said in, what is it, 2 Corinthians 4, 2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But I'm telling you that God is faithful to help us overcome any obstacle and opposition in our life if we just be obedient unto Him. But we come to a time in Felix's life here where Felix feels like, even though the time is right, the time is now. The preaching has been bid. Conviction has fallen. The opportunity to confess his faults was right. The opportunity for change was at hand. But Felix rejected everything because it was not convenient. Wasn't convenient. Why did Felix have such a problem here with convenience? No doubt Felix, by him being here a governor, And no doubt by him being a man of political prestige, no doubt Felix had people that looked up to him. No doubt Felix had people scratching his back, and he scratched theirs. No doubt Felix had money coming in. Hey man, that if you please was being put in under the table to have conveniences that he enjoyed. Hey man, and have opportunities that he enjoyed that would not have been pleasing unto God. We find Christianity is not convenient. Felix here, as he begins to listen to the preaching of Paul, begins to fall under the conviction. And we know once a man comes under conviction in his life, we know once God through the Holy Spirit begins to convict a man, woman, boy, or girl, I'm just using man in a general sense, mankind. But when God begins to convict an individual, and that individual begins to see their problem in life, they begin to see their sin and the fear that overtakes man's soul. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When God reveals to a man through conviction that man is wicked, man is without God, and there is no good thing in man, when man is convicted in that aspect, he has the opportunity to follow the next step and confess his sin and his feebleness and his frailty and his failure to God and realize he's guilty before God and the whole world and confess that to God and get help that he needs. And then through that would come a change or a conversion in his life that would make him a new creature or a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But quickly, I want to show you some things here about convenience. Felix come to a place in his life that it was not convenient to be a Christian. But I believe that the time came in Felix's life that Felix felt like it was convenient. And I don't believe, and you know me better than this, I don't believe in using psychology. I don't believe in trying to use some kind of a fairy tale of a story to try to get you to come to an altar or try to get you to be stirred in your emotions. But I want to try to take, if I can today, the thoughts here of the Scriptures and Felix's life. And maybe after the point of Paul being taken away from Felix, and maybe trying to go back into Felix's mind and begin to see what happened with Felix. Nowhere in this Bible do we have the account that Felix got saved. I don't know if he did or not, but I'm just telling you, nowhere in this Bible do we have the account that Felix got saved. I don't find anywhere after this chapter, I don't find, in chapter number 25, it talks about him being left in bonds by Felix. But when you find Paul confronted by other governors and other people, again, we don't find Felix mentioned. Felix is done. Kind of like Herod over there with John the Baptist. Amen. Jesus talked to Pilate. Jesus showed Pilate what is true. Jesus showed Pilate that he was the Son of God. But when Herod asked him, Jesus never answered him a word. Because when he cut the man of God's head off, he cut off the word of God to himself. And I believe Felix, when he sent Paul away, he sent away his day of ever being able to be saved. Christianity is just not convenient. And it don't come when it's convenient. I believe there came a day in Felix's life that he felt like would be a good day to get saved. I felt like there came a day in Felix's life, this is the day that I want to get saved. It might have been that Felix called down there to Rome and sent a letter to Rome and said, could you send Paul back up this way? But Paul wasn't available. It might have been that Felix came and inquired of another man of God, maybe somewhere down along the way, that he had come across and said, would you come and talk to me about the things of God? But they could not contact that man of God. There might have come a time in Felix's life that just because of what he knew and because of the things that he had heard in the past, he said, I'm going to get saved today. Can you imagine a man wanting to get saved? Can you imagine a man crying out to God saying, Lord, save me. But there be no help there. There be no relief of burden. Amen. There be no help. Amen. Of a changed life and a changed heart. And I'm going to show you why. Because Christianity, it's not convenient. You don't just become a Christian when you want to. You don't just get saved when you think it's a good time to get saved. You just don't get saved when you feel like, yeah, you've lived your life and you can settle down and you can try to live for God, or that you are able now to live for God. It's not going to happen that way. There is no doubt been people that have truly been saved, and God's dealt with them about some sort of a Christian service. I'm not talking about necessarily preaching or going to a mission field, but God has dealt with them about being a servant in the house of God, and they have rejected God time and time again, that God has dealt with them, and they have turned that away because they didn't feel like they were capable, or they didn't feel like that they was ready at this point in time, for whatever reason in their life. And then a little bit later on in life, they think, boy, I sure wish I could do that for God now. I sure wish that opportunity would come now. But I'm telling you, Christianity is not coming when it's convenient. I want you to notice about convenience. Convenience will not allow, number one, conviction. There will never be conviction in a sinner's life when it's convenient. In other words, when that sinner don't have any friends around, when that sinner don't have sin to commit, when that sinner, feels like he's at his last hope, when a man comes or a woman comes or a boy or girl comes to the end of their rope, I know I'll probably get a lot of ridicule on this thought, but when they've come to the end of their rope and they feel like there's no hope for them, and they try to turn to God and God's not there, the only other alternative they have is death. I'm telling you, I believe, I don't know for a fact, but I have a thought maybe that a saved person can commit suicide. I don't know that. I'm not going to argue that point with people. I know preachers that are pro for it, in other words. I know preachers that are dead set against it. But I'm telling you today that people can come to a place in their life that God will cut them off. And there ain't one way out of that. That's death. Whether they be saved or whether they be lost. But convenience will not bring conviction. It won't allow it. See what Felix was saying here. Felix was convicted. Felix could have got saved in verse number 24 and 25. Felix could have said, okay, Paul, I want to know today personally that I'm saved. I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ today as my personal Savior. Today is the day that I'm going to get saved, Paul. But he said, no. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Yes, he called for Paul many more times in hopes to receive money of him that he might loose him. But you don't find in this Bible Felix calling Paul to come preach to him about the way of faith anymore. Paul, I want to commune with you. I want to talk with you about your release Paul, I want to talk to you about you going, being able to go out and preach in other places. And you know, if you do me right, Paul, I'll make sure you get scot-free. But he never asked Paul to preach to him again. I'm telling you today, church, convenience will not allow conviction. You're not going to be convicted when you feel like it's a good time to be convicted. If God has already dealt with your heart about things in your life, if God has already brought areas of your life to cause you to fall under the conviction of the grace of God, and God has been merciful to you to convict you of your sin and then of righteousness and of judgment to come, if God has convicted you of those things and you have neglected that and turned that away, one of these days you're going to wonder, God, you can have some conviction. And it's not going to come. No doubt, the Bible said that he had hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Notice he communed with him, but he didn't listen to him. Hey, you can send for the preacher all you want to. You can send for the fellow brethren all you want to. Amen. You can send for God and ask God to deal with you all you want to. And I believe it's right to ask God to deal with your heart. My children, they've talked to me about salvation before a couple of them made their professions. And they've talked to me about things of that issue. And Holly has talked to us about things like that. And you know what I've told them all in the past and what I still tell them in the present? You ask God to deal with you. You ask God to show you what you are. You ask God what He wants to do with you. And then you take that and you act upon that and receive that for your help. Amen. I don't tell my daughter or my son they're saved just because they made a profession of faith. When they act like a saved person, I commend them and tell them that they're doing good. When they act like a devil, I tell them that ain't acting like Jesus wants you to act. That ain't acting like a Christian. You acting more like a lost individual today and you are a saved person. You might ought to check up. You say, preacher, I wouldn't do that. Well, you do it how you want to do it and I'll do it how the Lord wants me to do it. Amen. But I don't want to lose my children. I don't want them to think, well, Daddy thinks I'm saved, so I'm going to heaven. Amen. And let them live any old lifestyle they want to live and act how any they want to act and rebel when they want to rebel. That's not godly. Conviction will not come in a time of convenience. See, Paul preached and Felix was convicted when God sent Paul to Felix. But every time Felix called for Paul, after that, there was no conviction. It's convenient for me to call Paul up today and hear what he's got to say, because I want to get money from him. I want to turn him loose. He really ain't done nothing wrong. He don't deserve death. He don't deserve bonds. But you know, I'm gonna go ahead and call him up today and see what he's got to say. No more conviction. You can say no to God whether you're a saved person or a lost person here today. You can say no to God one too many times. There is a sin unto death, 1 John tells us, and I say that you should not pray for it. Hey, you might think that death is the easy way out. You might think that death is the way that you need to go. But I'm telling you that when you reject God, there will never be a convenient season for conviction. You better pray God's mercy on you. You better ask God in wrath to remember mercy. You better ask God to deal with you one more time. And you better be willing to get really right. Because convenience will not allow conviction. That's the reason why most people don't get saved in the older years of their life. Most people really and truly get saved at a younger age. And I'm not saying an old person can't get saved. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying a man or a woman can't get saved on their deathbed. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you, it's harder for them to turn loose and get saved because they've turned the occasion away so many times. Time and time again, chances are they've had more opportunities to get saved than just that one. And God might not even deal with them again. Better get saved when God deals with you. Better get right with God when God deals with you. Because convenience will not allow conviction. Can I say this? Without conviction, it don't matter if you're saved or lost. Without conviction, you'll never get right. You'll never get right. You can realize you have sin in your life. You can realize it ain't right for that sin to be. I'm talking about as a saved individual now. You can realize it ain't right for you to have that sin. You can realize that sin is a bad testimony to you. You can realize that sin is hindering you from serving God in a great way. But if you neglect when God deals with you about that sin, you neglect that, even though you realize that year after year after year, you'll probably never get rid of that sin in your life because you didn't get rid of it when God dealt with you about it. And really, it don't matter if you do or if you don't. Because God is not going to change to suit your convenience. You might get rid of that sin. And you might be able to do that great work that should have been done years ago. But now God won't deal with you about doing that work. Now God won't put you in the opportunity to be able to do that work because you did not submit to the conviction when God dealt with you. Rather, you waited until a convenient season. And that's not going to come. That convenient season is never going to come. See, it's never going to be convenient for you to read your Bible. It's never going to be convenient for you to pray. I mean, really. There might be times that it's easier, but it's never going to be convenient. This world don't stop and evolve around Christianity. And they're not going to stop their cycle for you to have time to read your Bible. They're not going to stop their cycle and stop their way of life for you to be able to stop and pray. Convenience will not allow conviction in your life. I want to say if you're waiting until a convenient day to confess, it'll never happen. Because convenience will not allow confession. If you're waiting for a day that is convenient for you to confess your sin unto God and get things right, it's not going to happen. The Bible tells us that whoso confesseth his sin and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. But he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. The Bible teaches us all through the Word of God, time and time again, how God came and dealt with His people and how God gave them an opportunity to confess their faults. Amen. God give David an ample amount of time to confess his sin with Bathsheba and get his sin right. He didn't have to kill Uriah. He could have went down there, brought Uriah in and said, Uriah, I'm sorry. I'm not the man you are. I have committed adultery with your wife. Amen. And she is now conceived with my child. And Uriah, I am sorry. I am unworthy to be your king. I am not being your friend. He could just humble himself under the subjection of Uriah and got that thing right there. And God could have blessed in a mighty way. But no, he went down there and tried to make Uriah get drunk, sin against God. Brought Uriah out of the war, made him sin against God. Tried to make Uriah to go into his wife, and he wouldn't do it, to sin against God. And God gave him time and occasion again to get those things right, and he would not get right. So finally, he sent the man of God down there and said, this is your last chance, David. He said, here's a man that had one ewe lamb. Here's a man that had all kinds of them. The availability was his. And this man took this one man's ewe lamb. Said, what needs to be done to that ewe lamb? Said, he'll restore fourfold. And David got real bold and got real mad and angry and said to the prophet and said, who is this man? I want to deal with him. And he said, David, thou art a man. David had come to a place in his sin that he couldn't even realize his own failure. He couldn't even confess his own sin. He had come to a place that it was convenient just to confess and forsake, but he wouldn't do it. And then it come to a time that he almost couldn't. Of course, you know the story. David ended up losing the kingdom and losing the blessings of God in his life that he could have had because of his sin. And I'm not condoning that, and I'm not saying that it's right for people to go out and commit adultery and steal people's wives and have people killed and get people drunk and that God's going to bless them and give them a nice life afterwards. I'm not saying that. I know that if you study David's life, you'd find that David, even though, if you please, he experienced the blessings of God in his life, he never enjoyed the blessings of God in his life. It's one thing to have the blessings of God. It's another thing to enjoy them. The children of Israel had the blessings of God the whole 40 years they walked in the wilderness, but they didn't enjoy them. They had shoes on their feet, clothes on their back that never wore out, but they didn't enjoy them. They had the cloud to lead them by day to keep the sun off of them so they wouldn't have sunstroke, and the pillar of fire to lead them at night so they could stay warm and not freeze to death, but they didn't enjoy them. They walked across on dry ground when God parted the waters. Amen. And they walked across on dry ground and they experienced that blessing, but they didn't enjoy that blessing. What are you saying, preacher? There's a big difference in God sustaining you because you're His child and you enjoying those blessings of being His heir. Convenience will not allow confession. If you're waiting at a convenient time to confess your faults, it's never going to happen. David might have said, well, you know, I've committed this act of adultery with Bathsheba. I'm just speculating now. David could have said, I've committed this act of adultery with Bathsheba, and I'm going to go down here and confess that to Uriah and make those things right. And maybe while he was on his way out the door, word was sent to him, I am conceived with child. And David says, uh-oh, I can't go tell him that I have committed adultery with his wife. Huh? Are you listening to the preaching this morning? I'm talking about a convenient time. It's not going to come. Convenience will not allow confession of faults. It won't allow it. You'll have to do it when God deals with you. You'll have to do it, and it might seem like the most inopportune time to confess. It might seem like everything's going great and boy, you'll really dampen the spirit or you'll really cause a ruckus or you'll really discourage someone. I mean, that's the things that the devil puts in your mind. And there'll never be a time of convenience to confess your faults. But the Bible says confess your faults. One to another. That you may be healed. Huh? I'm just telling you this morning, church, Christianity is not convenient. You'll not find a place of convenience to get convicted of your faults. You'll not find a place of convenience to confess your faults. Look what the Bible said now. He said, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. There will never be a convenient season, or convenience will not allow you to change or be converted. Felix might have said, well, you know, I guess I'll just go ahead and turn him loose. Felix might have decided by the time verse number 27 is written, he might have decided, well, I'm just going to go ahead and turn him loose. Paul ain't going to give me no money. He ain't got no money. I'm just going to go ahead and turn him loose and let him go his way. But another man came first. Before he did that, another man came and said, you know, boy, the Jews really seem to have pleasure in the fact that Paul is bound here. So guess what he did? He didn't change. He left Paul bound. About the time you think it's going to be convenient to change your life, something's going to come up and it ain't going to be willing. You ain't going to be willing to change. As I told a man this past week, a drunkard can quit drinking. A doper can quit doping. A whoremonger can quit whoremonging. A harlot can quit being a harlot. They can. But an outward change is not an inward change. And there will never be a convenient time to change. When that dope addict says, I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this no more. Won't be long. His friends will come around and say, hey, let's shoot up. Let's smoke a joint. Let's go get drunk. Let's go find a prostitute. Maybe that poor harlot. Maybe she's out and she was performing her acts of wickedness. And a man came in unto her and began to beat her and abuse her. And might even come to the point of almost killing her and then leaving her laying there. In her sin and in her misery, and she might say, I'm not doing this anymore. I quit. I'm not going to be a harlot anymore. I'm done with allowing men to have their way with me. That might be the frame of mind she gets in. See, it's become convenient to think that she wants to change. But a day or two, a week or two maybe, maybe some of her customers come by, say, I hadn't seen you out lately. And she tells them, I'm changing. I'm not doing that no more. And they began to talk with her and seduce her. And before you know it, she's back to the same old person. Why? Because there's not a convenient time to change. Hey, 2 or 3 days of no income coming in, 2 or 3 weeks of no income coming in, people get hungry. Bills have got to be paid. The need of money will cause you to do things that you think you would never do. That's why it's so important to be a Christian. Because God will supply our needs and we don't have to have, per se, money. There's been times when we needed some things and people give us things, not money. God knew. If somebody had offered us money, if we'd do something, we might have done it. But instead, God provided those things other ways to let us know it's not always that you make money to do it, to accomplish it. God can work and give it to you in other ways. Christianity is not convenient. Convenience will never allow conviction to be saved. Convenience will never allow someone to confess in order to get saved. Convenience will never allow a changed heart. How many times, especially we're coming up on the end of the year and begin to start the new year, and I know we don't practice per se New Year's resolutions. We might say that we're going to do something different this next year or whatever, but if you are like me, most time that changes every week. But you know, we'll say, well, I'm going to start doing this. And you know, before you know it, you never started. Or you started and you quit. Let me tell you why. Because it's never convenient to change. I've tried to make myself a promise to myself. And I've already started somewhat in the last few months, really, but not consistent with it as I ought to be. But I've kind of made myself this promise that I'm going to start trying to read a book. It might not be 10 pages long, it might be 1,000 pages long. But I'm going to try to start reading something. I'm not talking about just some novel somewhere. I'm talking about something that's going to help me understand and get something more from the Word of God. But I've promised myself that the first of the year I was going to start wholeheartedly reading a book a month about the things of the Lord. And I've already started in aspects of that. But you know what? If I ain't careful, convenience will not allow me to sit and read. A man yesterday, as we was walking through the mall over at Marion, a man yesterday sitting outside this bookstore said, "Sir, do you have an interest in the history of Illinois?" And I said, "Yes, sir, but I don't like to read about it. I like to hear people talk about history. But I said, I'm not much on reading. And I read my Bible. And I try to read books that help me more so on my Bible. But I said, I just don't read books to be reading books. I said, I don't like to read. It's hard for me to just sit down and read. And I know it's not a waste of time. I know that. And I've been brought up all my life to work with my hands. The Bible teaches about working with your hands and doing things. And I don't care if it ain't nothing but driving a nail or painting over a nail head. If I don't do something like that every day, I don't feel like I've accomplished anything. That's just the way I was brought up. And that's no degrade of that raising, but I just wasn't taught to sit and read. And I never have liked to sit and read like some people. I wish I could, and I wish I was a person that just liked to read. And maybe in disciplinary works of myself, maybe I can come to that point that I do like to sit down and just read. I enjoy reading my Bible. I mean, there's times I sit down and begin reading, and before I know it, an hour and a half, 2 hours has passed. It's not that I don't enjoy reading my Bible. It's just the point of making myself sit down to do it. But so many times we say, well, it's going to be convenient to start at the first of the year, and I'm going to do this all through the year in my life, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. But before you know it, that convenience is not there. When it's convenient to exercise, we'll exercise. I've been telling myself all year long, I was going to start taking my kids 2 or 3 days out of the week at least and start doing exercises with them every evening. Every week. You know how many times we've probably done that all through the year? 4 or 5. You know why? Not convenient. Cause of work, not get in until 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and they need to get in bed so they can get up for school and do their school work and all that. Too tired. Huh? Other things I need to do instead of doing that with them. I'm talking about things that's right to do. Convenience will never allow anything, church. You've got to make it. When the Lord says, do it. Now is the accepted time. Might not be convenient, but it's time to do it. Convenience will not allow conviction. It will not allow confession. And it will not allow change or a conversion in your life. Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll not deny you. I'll die with you. I'll go to prison for you. But he said, Peter, he said, I have prayed for thee. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He told Peter, you were going to deny me 3 times. Peter did. Denied him 3 times. But you know what? When the accepted time came, when that cock crowed, that was the accepted time. It wasn't convenient. He's still down there in the midst of that crowd that hates him and hates God. But when the accepted time came, he went out and wept bitterly. It was cold outside. The Bible said Peter warmed himself by the fire. It wasn't convenient to go outside, but he did because that's what he had to do. Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. You know what? He got things right. Of course, you know the story. He comes on after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He meets them in the upper room, tells them to go out and do the work that God has bid them to do. Chapter number 21 of the Gospel of John. He comes to Peter, said, Peter, you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Next book, we find Peter preaching the gospel and thousands of souls getting saved. Huh? But you know what? There never was a convenient time. It was convenient for Peter to go fishing in John 21. It wasn't convenient to preach because the Jews, they were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were afraid they were going to die. It wasn't convenient to preach. But he went right back out and went to preaching after he got right with the Lord. Convenience will never allow good things in your life, church. You've got to do it when it's the accepted time. Father, take the message today. Use it for your honor, your glory, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do for us. In Jesus' name we do pray, and for your sake we ask it. Amen.